How much patience should Alex Golish be given in year one?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Happy Thursday. Today's show is brought to you by Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. If you want to start working on your retirement today, guess what? You need to start doing it before you actually retire. You can actually book a consultation. Only people that listen to the show can do this at calendly.com/Ford Stokes. You can book an appointment. It's already been done a few times with some of you guys, so keep doing it. Keep showing Ford Stokes how much you appreciate what he does for the show and show him some love. And you can trust that your money will never go to Alabama's NIL. Huge Auburn guy. It's Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. How much patience should Alex Golish be giving year one? We're going to talk about that on a we actually have a patience meter scale. How about that? And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian and how ridiculous they've been over the last couple of days. And then how motivated is Georgia this weekend? I've seen a lot of people talk about their motivation as far as baseball goes. We're going to break that down as well as you head into a big series finale. Starts tonight, actually. Let's jump right into it. Year one, I got pressure, patience. It's all kind of related. If you don't have much patience, that means there's a lot of pressure. You know what I mean? If there's not much patience given to Alex Golish, that means there's a lot of pressure. But our boy Brad Crawford from CBS, and I got to get handed to Brad Crawford. Off-season content monster. Thank you, Brad Crawford, for all you do. You're a real one. He puts out a list of college football's first-year head coaches, and he created a patience meter. Let's go over the patience meter first. Number one, it's on a scale of 1 to 5, all right? If you're a 1, you're an understandable multi-year rebuild. So, essentially, no expectations. Number two, plenty of runway for future progress. So, maybe not quite no expectations, but hey, it's not a terrible spot, but we understand it's going to take some time. Number three, hey, commence bowl eligibility after a roster overhaul. Hey, it's good enough to win a bowl. It's good enough to get to a bowl game. Four, expectations are high and potentially unrealistic. And five, win big now given the resource allocation. We're going to start with obviously where he has Alex Golish ranked on this particular list, and then I'm going to give you some examples of guys that kind of fit in some of the other criteria so you can have some context. But he has Alex Golish as a 3. Remember, 3 is, hey, commence bowl season, baby. Yeah, you've had a roster overhaul, but it's good enough to make a bowl. I don't necessarily disagree with that. He says Auburn didn't make this hire for a slow, methodical rebuild. I totally agree. The Tigers want immediate traction in the SEC arms race. Golish's offensive track record creates intrigue, especially with tempo and quarterback development. But contending for a national title in year one remains a steep climb given roster turnover and league depth. Realistically, playoff contention is the ceiling, not a championship run. Still early. Competitiveness against Georgia and Alabama will define whether belief in the new era takes hold quickly, especially once this roster is flushed of former South Florida players after this season. You know, when I first went into this, I thought 3 was too low. I really did. But when you read this synopsis, this is almost exactly how I feel. This is almost exactly where my potential expectations are. You've, first of all, just from a messaging standpoint, you and this is a good thing. Again, I'm not like chastising or saying he's wrong in this. I love the messaging. I talked about it yesterday. I love all the win now verbiage. I love the we're going to compete immediately. We're not here for participation trophies. I love all of that. But when you use those words or you use that language, you are going to ramp up expectations. You bring in Byron Brown, and I just still, man, it's really hard for me to see how that guy isn't going to be good. It's really tough. I don't care about the competition level that he played against. Physics are physics, and he's 6'3", 230, 240 pounds. He can run like a deer, and he can throw the ball 70 yards. Sure, there's going to be some times when we'll scratch our head as far as maybe pass accuracy goes. But, I mean, to me, if he's completing over 60% of his passes and he's the run threat that I believe and I think the staff believes he's going to be, I mean, it's just really hard to imagine how he's not going to be good. Unless just the offensive line, I guess, is terrible and he's running for his life. But I think even his presence back there is going to have to make defenses respect him, and in turn, that's going to make the offensive line better. So that's going to ramp up expectations. You brought your whole staff in. You brought a lot of your key offensive guys in from a personnel standpoint. The offense that was like the number three overall offense last year in the country, that's going to make expectations higher. I like that. I agree completely that the ceiling is probably making the playoffs. You know, if you back into a, you know, 9-3, something like that, just because of the schedule so tough, 9-3, and then other teams around you lose the games you need them to lose, and you kind of sneak your way into the playoffs. That's probably the ceiling. And I think that's fine. I think that's fine year one. Now, what he does after all these South Florida guys are gone, I think Brad nailed it. That's what's going to really define his career at Auburn. But since you've sort of injected this roster right off the bat, it's going to ramp up your expectations. It's going to take Auburn from slow, methodical rebuild to, hey, you got to do it now, or there's going to be some serious questions. I don't think all that's fair. Some examples of guys that are like the most, like win now, Lane Kiffin, which we're going to talk about Lane Kiffin in just a minute. He has Lane Kiffin at a 5. I mean, you don't have to look any further than his portal class when you supposedly he have the number one overall prospect, the quarterback, the number one overall offensive tackle, the number one edge, you know, the number two safety. And then they flip some big-time guys right there at the end as far as recruiting goes in high school. I mean, you got a really, really good roster. You imported a lot of those dudes from Ole Miss. Like, you got a really, really good roster. And LSU's not ever really been known to be patient. So he's up there at a 5, so that gives you something to kind of compare to. Alex Golsh is kind of at a 3 right there in the middle. Lane Kiffin's in win now mode. And then like an example of, we understand it's a long, slow rebuild. Pat Fitzgerald at Michigan State's at a 1. So that gives you some, you know, that gives you some, I guess, some perspective, something to compare to. James Franklin, they have him at a 4, which I think is probably fair too. So a little bit in between. He's probably going to have unrealistic expectations, but they're going to have high expectations. he brought in a bunch of guys. I'm telling you, man, you don't get the grace period anymore. Especially if you have success in the portal. It's almost like a double-edged sword. We're going to talk about Lane Kiffin here in just a second and Steve Sarkisian and some of their comments and just how absolutely ridiculous this week has been from guys that are supposed to be, you know, at the top of college football. We'll get at that in just a second, but before we do that, let's give a quick shout-out to buyauburn.com. Go to buyauburn.com today and find Auburn businesses to work with. If you're going to spend money with Auburn people. Right now, we just got our top 30 businesses, and we're adding new ones every single day. Check them out today. It's not just in Auburn. It's all across the Southeast right now, and hopefully eventually we'll get across the whole country. So whenever you're traveling, first thing you do is you go to buyauburn.com. Hey, are there any Auburn businesses here? Let's do business with Auburn people. And then if you want to list your business, it's a dollar a day. Check it out. It's less than a dollar a day. Sorry. Check us out. It's buyauburn.com. If you need a good real estate agent, speaking of Buy Auburn, hit me up. KyleRush@KW.com. Got a ton of investment opportunities very, very quickly down the pipeline. If you want to have some game day rentals, or you just want to look for student rentals, things like that. Or hey, if you're looking to buy, build, or sell in this area, I'd love to help you out. It's KyleRush@KW.com. We'll be back right after this. I don't know where to start first. I'm going to start with Lane since we just talked about him. But the Lane Kiffin stuff, and we talked about it a little bit on Afternoon Delight yesterday, which you can catch every day around 4:30 on audio. Every time you start to like Lane Kiffin, he gives you a reason and reminds you why you can't stand him. Every single time. He's one of the people that I can't leave well enough alone. The comments about Ole Miss and everything that's, you know, supposedly goes on there, and obviously I can't, you know, I don't have any perspective there. I'm sure it does. I'm sure it happens at a lot of teams' campuses in the SEC. But it was like, why? At this point in time, it's May. I know today's May 14th. It happened a couple days ago. Like, why? What's the point? Like, you left them at the altar. You chased the bag to LSU. Let's don't play this game about the reason why. You know why. You left Ole Miss. You left Ole Miss for more money, and you thought it would be an easier run to the championship, and that is fine. It's probably true. You're going to have an easier road, I think, to the playoffs at LSU, being able to load up a roster than you would at Ole Miss. But it's from a, you know, it's from a geographical standpoint. It's from a money standpoint. It's from a prestige standpoint. Let's just be honest. LSU's a little bit, you know, up there, a little bit higher prestige level than Ole Miss. Why are we throwing them in the mud when you broke up with them? There's people out there like that too. Like, you break up with somebody. It's always blown my mind. If you dump somebody and then you get mad at them for, like, moving on with their life, especially if they start having some success, then it makes you really mad. Like, that's psycho. That's psycho behavior. And we've all dealt with that from both genders at some point in time, or had a friend that's experienced that. Like, dang, she dumped me. I'm going out on a date now, and now she's blowing me up and telling me how big of a piece of crap I am. I'm like, whoa, you dumped me. and it happens both ways. Lane is a psycho. I mean, he is a 100% psycho. That is what you sign up for. I'm sure there's going to be some fun times And there are going to be times where he reminds you that he's a psycho. And then let's switch gears to Sark. Another one, like, why is Ole Miss, like, first of all, I'm mad at both of these guys because they're making me defend Ole Miss, which pisses me off because I don't want to. Steve Sarkisian talking about the academic standards of Texas and how they just have higher standards, as if we're still trying to pretend that school matter, like school actually is happening. Cam Coleman went to Texas because of the academic prestige. Give me a break. And that's okay. That's my thing. It's okay. You have a Lamborghini sponsorship. You got guys getting Lamborghinis from Austin Lamborghini. Look it up. That's the game now. Who cares? Let's don't play this stupid. Let's just quit pretending. Let's quit pretending that we're playing school anymore. That's what we're doing. We're just playing school. Let's quit pretending that school matters to college football anymore. That's the only thing that's keeping us from being able to figure out how to make this whole thing work, is this pretending school thing. Come on, guys. Cam Coleman did not leave Auburn to go to Texas because Texas has a more prestigious physics department, and that's okay. He went and got with a better perception, better quarterback, more secure offense, and more money, and that's fine. That's college football today. What are you doing, Sark? I mean, God, your starting quarterbacks, dad, uncle, and granddad all played at Ole Miss, and you're throwing them under the bus because of some silly thing, something to do with credit. Some credits don't even transfer. Like, you don't have fake college classes for Texas football players. Give me a break. Give me a break, dude. Go do less with more than anyone in the country, like you've done your whole career, and just keep doing you. Like, keep doing, like, you don't have to take shots. You got your own stuff to worry about. You got one of the best, you've had one of the best rosters in college football in the past, however long you've been at Texas, and you can't do anything with it. Okay? Unbelievable. Two guys at the top of the league, at the top of their careers, throwing haymakers at Ole Miss. And Ole Miss, all Ole Miss has done is dumped all their resources behind a psycho. And they got left at the altar. The one chance they had, a really, really good opportunity to win a national championship, dude jilts them, leaves them at the altar that they gave everything to, everything they could. And now they're taking haymakers from two guys from the top of the league. I don't get it. And I'm mad at both of y'all for making me defend Ole Miss. College football's wild. But, hey, I tell you what, it's awesome for May. I appreciate it. Thank you. UGA motivation for baseball this weekend. Obviously, Auburn takes on number 4 versus number 5. Number 4, Georgia, in the top 25. Some people have talked about the potential of Georgia possibly not being super motivated because they've got everything locked up and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I understand they do have the SEC regular season locked up. They do have the number one overall seed in the SEC tournament locked up. And there's really, they could get swept and they're still going to be one of the double byes in the SEC tournament. But I still think they have a little bit to play for from a national seed standpoint, because I understand they're number 5 in the AP poll, but they're all the way down to number 16 in the RPI. They've not had an extremely tough schedule. As a matter of fact, their strength of schedule is 62 in the country. I'm sorry, 56 in the country. So I don't know how they do that. I don't know if you can leave, you know, if a top five team doesn't get a top eight seed, top five in the AP poll, because of their RPI. Like, I don't exactly know how that works, and I don't even really know how much they could actually jump up in RPI just by, you know, I mean, I guess if they came here and swept Auburn, that would probably shoot them up a good bit. I don't know if it gets them all the way into the top eight, but there's still a good bit to play for Georgia, because, I mean, you want to leave no doubt. You want to leave no doubt that you're going to be, you know, one of those top eight seeds. And as good as Auburn's been, you know, you're, again, you're number five in the, you're number five in the top 25, which that's going to change because of the loss to Jacksonville State. Okay. So they're going to drop some now, depending on what happens this weekend. Auburn's number two in the RPI. They're number five in the AP with a loss, so they're going to drop. So there's a bunch of motivation for Auburn to have success this weekend too. I think it's going to be an unbelievable series. I don't think anybody is taking anything lightly in this series. And throw in the rivalry, which I don't know if Auburn and Georgia baseball is as big of a rivalry, if they care as much or anywhere near what they care for football. But I think it's going to be a good series. Starts tonight. I'm thinking it's about that time to start doing barn casts for baseball. So y'all be on the lookout. I don't know if we'll do the full game, but at some point in time, we may jump in there and finish the thing off with a barn cast. And then it may be something we carry the rest of the season through postseason. So y'all let me know what you think about that. Guys, thanks for joining. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It helps. Comments help. All that helps the algorithm, helps more people see these videos. Y'all have a great rest of your day. We'll talk again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.